The Bible reading today, the first part of the Bible reading is in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. That's on page 1068 in your church Bibles, 1068. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Bethesda. The English translation for this Hebrew or Aramaic name is House of Mercy. It was an impressive building of charity. The sick did not need to hang around in the streets. But for this man, who had been paralyzed for 38 years, this place was hell. Maybe in early years, he might have felt desperate. Now he was completely apathetic. There was no hope for him. When he looked around, he saw only suffering and dying. Well, the local church within its charity program had organized meals on wheels so that the poor could survive. But that was it. Perhaps in the beginning some relatives brought some food and often flowers. But in the course of time, all that had stopped. His problem now had become a way of life. Up there in the temple close by, they celebrated the harvest festival. But Jesus went down to those in misery. He stepped over sick bodies in the hall of Bethesda. This is Jesus. He is with those who are heartbroken. Now his question sounds strange. Do you want to get well? Of course he wants to get healed. Therefore he is here at the pool. But because he has no one to carry him down to the water, he remains sick. For getting healed, he can only imagine that somebody carries him down to the water. And this somebody is missing. Therefore, he misunderstands Jesus' question. He thinks, if no one helps me, I cannot get healed. But Jesus goes beyond this man's experiences and expectations. He commands him to get up and walk. Now he could refuse. I can't. Or it will not help. But he does not refuse. He does not say yes, but he believes and obeys the word of Jesus. And because of doing it, he experiences, I am healed. Well, Jesus did not heal all the sick people, but he gave a sign. Sickness is not stronger than me. Sometime later, Jesus meets this man in the temple. It was Sabbath, and for him, the first service after 38 years. This conversation now shows us that Jesus has come to this world not only to repair our bones, muscles, or nerves. He wants to heal us completely, body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, I like the version of the King James Bible. There Jesus asks, do you want to be made whole, complete? This man had been paralyzed, and suddenly he could walk. This was a great miracle. But he needed an even greater miracle, to have his sins forgiven. The man was delighted to be physically healed, but he had to turn from his sin and seek God's forgiveness to be spiritually healed as well. God's forgiveness is the greatest gift we will ever receive. The warning Jesus gives here, stop sinning, makes us think. Sickness and sin are often connected. Since there is sin in the world is not healthy, and the people are not either. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying this man was paralyzed because of his sin. Some Christians are very quick to conclude of that of their fellow Christians. We cannot conclude that all sickness is a result of a certain sin. This would not only be wrong, but also merciless and unfair towards many, many sick people. Often sick people ask themselves what they did wrong because of their suffering. And we have no answer to that. And Jesus refused this answer. When he healed the man who was blind from birth, which we read in John chapter 9, the disciples quickly concluded wrongly. Who sinned, he himself or his parents? Neither this man nor his parents, Jesus replied, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Now we should not think that God's work can only be displayed in healing. Also in a person's life without healing, the Lord can show his power and love. The best illustration for this is the real story of a person of our days. The young, beautiful, lively and athletic Johnny Erickson hit a stone when she jumped into a lake. Since then, she is totally paralyzed from her neck on downwards. She couldn't move any arm or any leg or body. She paints pictures with her mouth. Her testimony is known worldwide through books and the movie about her life. Joni suffered desperately because of her complete helplessness. And one night she asked a friend for some pills so that she could die. When her friend refused, she thought, not even can I die by myself. Life had become real hell for her. Emotional pain, anger, bitterness, and anguish shook her well-being. Although she did not feel any physical pain, They tortured her emotions and affected her nerves and spread over her whole body. This went on for 3 years. Then one night, a dramatic change began and made her the committed Christian which she still is today. Her best friend Cindy was sitting at her bedside, desperately searching for something to comfort her. It must have been the guidance of the Holy Spirit that made her suddenly say, "Joni, Jesus knows how you feel. You are not the only paralyzed one. He also was paralyzed." Joni stared at her and said, "What are you talking about?" "It's true, Joni. He was nailed on the cross. His back was sore by the lashes, like your back is sometimes. How he must have longed to be able to move, to shift his weight. But he could not. Joni, he knows how you feel." Cindy's words reached Joni's heart, since she had never thought about this before. The Son of God had suffered this pricking anguish that tormented her body. The Son of God knew the helplessness she experienced now. Later, Joni said, "God came so unbelievably close to me." Why do I tell you this story? Some of us may know some people suffering and being fed up with life and see no hope or reason for living. "I'm useless. I only depend on other people." But through this testimony, we can see that we also can encourage our friends or relatives who suffer. Back to our story. The sick man had been healed, but now he had to allow Jesus this question: what would his life look like from now on? Meeting with Jesus must have consequences. Thankfulness for his help cannot be expressed only by words which come easy from his lips. It must be verified by showing that now he will no longer live for himself, but will ask for the Lord's will, and then do it. Ungratefulness, this would be sin. The continuation of the chapter 5 shows that the story of healing is not the central point of this chapter. In the following discussion with the religious leaders, Jesus wants to help them understand who he really is. And therefore, the healing story is just the prelude, das Vorspiel. Now David will come and read the next couple of verses.
Jacob, sorry. So continuing on page 1068, John chapter 5, verse 16 through 30. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work, to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. This is the word of the Lord.
In the Football World Cup 2002, superstar striker Ronaldo, after his team defeated England, he changed his hairstyle because his little son confused him with his teammate Ronaldo Carlos. This was just a little incident of mistaken identity. But our Lord Jesus more seriously suffered also from mistaken identity. I again look at verse 10. It is the Sabbath that the law forbids you to carry the mat. And verse 16. Because Jesus had been doing these things on the Sabbath, they persecuted him. According to the Pharisees, carrying a mat on the Sabbath was work and was therefore unlawful. It did not break an Old Testament law, but the Pharisees' interpretation of God's command to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy in Exodus 20. This was just one of the 100 rules they had added to the Old Testament law. We have another report in the Old Testament when a man was stoned to death by God's order because of work on the Sabbath. While the Israelites were in the desert, he went on the Sabbath out to the field to collect firewood. And he took advantage of that Sabbath because the others remained home or in the temple, so he had no competition. And this was work. And he was stoned to death. Death on God's order. Terrible, isn't it? But this one was not breaking the law. It was only their interpretation. The Jewish leaders saw both a mighty miracle and a broken rule. They threw the miracle aside as they focused their attention to the broken rule, because the broken rule was more important to them than the miracle of healing. They shouted, "Jesus is breaking the Sabbath! For help! The pillar of the covenant is crumbling. The enemy of the law is a blasphemer and sets himself as a new lawgiver. He's a danger to the whole nation." And we must be careful. We quickly tend to judge the Pharisees, because for us as well, it is easy to get so caught up in our man-made structures and rules that we forget the people involved. And we also have to ask ourselves, are our guidelines for living God-made or man-made? Are they helping people, or have they just become needless stumbling blocks? Now, Jesus could easily have avoided the confrontation with the leaders. There was no hurry for the paralyzed man to get healed on this day, on the Sabbath. One day more, after 13,870 days and nights, would not matter. So it seems that he wanted the confrontation, because this gave him the opportunity to tell them who he really was. By reacting to their accusation, he made something clear to them. Jesus identified himself with God his Father. Verse 17, we read, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." There could be no doubt as to his claim to be God. Jesus does not leave the Pharisees and us to the option to believe in God while ignore God's Son. In verse 23, we read that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The Pharisees and us cannot claim to be God's friend and at the same time the enemy of Jesus. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Some people say, "Yes, I believe in God, but Jesus doesn't mean anything to me." But God can only be found in his Son. Since in Bethlehem the angels praised, "Glory to God in the highest," this praise was given to the baby in the manger and to the reconciler on the cross. In the lowliness of a stable, and in the mercy of the Redeemer. The Pharisees also called God their Father, but they realized that Jesus was claiming a unique relationship with him. It was not the most exciting thing with Jesus that he healed sick people. Also others did that. People did not quarrel because what Jesus does, but they get excited about what he is. Because he says he belongs to God and he is his Son. What happens to him is not the private thing of a carpenter from Nazareth. This could be discussed. But he has a mandate to act as he does and to say what he says. Wherever he shows up, he heals in the name and in the power of God. He refers to the Father when they hate him and chase him away. Not a man from Nazareth is rejected. God himself is nailed to the cross. Jesus is rejected not because he can do more than others, but because he is more than others. In response to Jesus' claim, the Pharisees had two choices: to believe him or to accuse him of blasphemy. They chose the second. Because of his unity with God, Jesus lived as God wanted him to live. Verse 30, he says, "For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." In other translation it says, "I seek not my will, but the will of the Father." Everyone here has his own will. It is important that as human beings we have a will. The words of Jesus does not oppose that. He puts his will voluntarily, this means by his will, under the obedience to the Father who has sent him. And by doing so, something very new happens in this world. Complete agreement with God. He and the Father are unity. This is a unique event, and it cannot be repeated. Only with Jesus, human and divine will became a unity. Everything he says or does is in complete unity with the Father and for our salvation. We cannot do that. We are not able to bring our will in line with the will of God as much as we try. And if somebody says, I can, he's a hypocrite. Many times we have difficulties even to know God's will at all. But if we do, then to obey him by our will, this is the homework, the exercise for those who follow Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, I and the Father are one. As human beings, we always want to analyze. We want to know who is who and how is it and so. But for us, this word of Jesus makes it impossible for us to separate Father from the Son. In, how was it? Ineffable. Right?
Ineffable.
So on Monday, when your colleague asks you, is Jesus God? What will be your answer? Now, after that all, what does this mean to you and me today? Well, the answer we are given in verse 24, and this is a wonderful and clear good news and does not need any explanation. I read it again, 24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And later Jesus speaks about judgment, the day of judgment. Nobody here needs to be afraid of the day of judgment. But because of this great promise, we can trust him. The only thing it needs is our response, our answer. Amen.